From MacEyeLife.com, it's The Digital Hub with Jim Hyde.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to edition number 2 of The Digital Hub. I'm your host, Jim Hyde, and I'm back. And it only took a few months. Okay, 7 months. It's been an interesting year here at MacEyeLife.com Central. And I'm not going to go into all the details here because I've done it before. And besides, we've got iLife things to talk about. In this edition of the Digital Hub, we'll talk about what's new in the iLife 06 programs. There have been some updates since last January. We'll also talk about the iPod and your car. And we'll talk about a couple of non-iLife related matters and wrap up with a look at a free audio plugin for GarageBand that I think you'll find pretty fun. First of all, let's start by just kind of bringing you up to date with where things stand in the iLife family. All of the iLife programs have seen minor and sometimes slightly not so minor updates since their debut in January. Most of the updates are in the bug fix and increases stability with 16:9 projects when working with PAL audio format kinds of varieties. Little subtle things that didn't affect maybe all that many people, but welcome improvements for those people that they did affect. There are two exceptions to that, though. Two of the iLife programs have seen not just the maintenance fixes, the bug fixes, the spray of RAID along the baseboard corners, but also some feature enhancements. And those are iPhoto and iWeb. iPhoto, the latest version of which is 6.0.4 is the latest iPhoto, adds some new greeting card and postcard designs. If you haven't created a greeting card or postcard with iPhoto 6, you really should. They're gorgeous. And they're a lot easier to create than a 20-page book or a 12-month calendar. Drag a photo in, choose a theme, add some text if you like, click a button, and you're done. I've written about iPhoto postcards and greeting cards on MacEyeLife.com recently. If you haven't read that particular posting, you can click on the link that appears in your iTunes window. Yes, this is an enhanced podcast. I forgot to mention that at the outset. If you're playing back this podcast within iTunes, as opposed to on your iPod, that is, you will see in the lower left corner of the iTunes window, in the little artwork pane, links that relate to a lot of the things that I'm going to be talking about. If you're interested in more information, you can click on those links and they will load in your web browser. So iPhoto 6.0.4, definitely worth grabbing. It's worth grabbing the updates to any iLife app when they are released because they do often fix bugs and improve stability, as I mentioned. But 6.0.4, iPhoto in particular, with the new greeting card designs, it's worth grabbing. The other big update in the iLife family is iWeb 1.1.1. No, my record player is not skipping. It really is 1.1.1. iWeb, I have mixed feelings toward iWeb. I've written about this on MacEyeLife.com as well. You can read my rant about it by clicking on the link in your iTunes window right now. In a nutshell, I'm a bit bothered by the fact that iWeb often chooses form over function. That is, it will allow you to create any kind of design that you want, even if that design might yield a very large, slow-to-load web page. The web design world is often all about compromises. Creating sites that load as quickly as possible, creating sites that work on as many browsers and platforms as possible, and I think that iWeb loses sight of that, and it's a very easy-to-use program. There is no easier path to creating your own website, especially if you want to add more advanced features like blogging, photo albums, RSS feeds, and of course the iLife integration is great. The media browser gives you access to your photos and your movies and your music. I just wish that iWeb created faster-loading sites. And I wish the templates were a little bit more flexible. But it is just an infant. It is the newcomer to the iLife family, so I'm sure it's got a very bright and magnificent future. And things are looking up already. I think within a couple of months after iWeb debuted, Apple released an update that fixed some problems where iWeb was converting JPEG format graphics, which tend to be very compact and fast to download, into PNG or PNG format graphics, which can also be fast to download, but in the way that iWeb was creating them, weren't so much. iWeb 1.1.1 adds some nice new features. There are 6 new design themes, and there's a little pop-up menu at the top of the template chooser that lets you choose between the 1.1 themes and the original 1.0 themes, if you care to narrow your list of options down between those two. Some new page design themes, which are always welcome. I like the more straightforward of the new themes. Gazette is a rather nice one. Elegant is indeed rather elegant. Notebook is kind of nice. Doodle and Cloud9, a little bit overcooked for my tastes, but try them out in iWeb 1.1 and see for yourself. Also new in iWeb is the ability to have comments on a blog. Now, there's a sentence that would have made no sense 10 years ago, but if you've visited a lot of blogs, you've probably noticed that many bloggers allow their visitors to make comments on their posting. No, I completely disagree with you. That's not what the last episode of Lost was about. Whatever. The original versions of iWeb did not allow you to have blog comments, but iWeb 1.1.1 does. Now, when iWeb first appeared, some people came out with workarounds that allowed you to use third-party commenting services like HaloScan to add comments to iWeb blogs. That's not necessary anymore. If you're serving your site through Apple's .Mac service, you can use iWeb 1.1.1 to add comments to your blogs. While they were at it, Apple also added the ability to search blogs to the latest versions of iWeb. So you can just, using the blog and podcast inspector, there's a little checkbox there that says display search field. If you click that box, you will automatically add a blog searching capability to your weblog. Apple has created some QuickTime tutorials that illustrate some of these new iWeb 1.1 features. I linked to them in my overview of iWeb 1.1.1 that I wrote on macilife.com. If you want to get to them right now, you can just click the link that you see on the screen. So that's what's new in iLife 06. You can get the updates to any of the iLife 06 programs by using the software update system preference that's built into Mac OS X, or you can get them for individual programs, if you like, by going to the support pages for the specific program that you want to update. And here's a little tip that I use all the time because my bookmarks menu is about 400 feet long, and my bookmarks are very disorganized. And for me, it's often faster to just go up into the location bar, the address bar of Safari, and type a web address than it is to try to find it in my bookmarks bar. You can go to any of the Apple iLife support pages by just typing in your location bar, Apple/support/iPhoto, or Apple/support/GarageBand. You don't have to type www.apple.com. That's a very simple browsing tip that you're probably familiar with. If you're typing www. then a domain name and then .com, you're doing way too much work. You're typing web addresses the way they did it back in 1996. In every modern web browser, you simply only have to type the primary portion of the domain name. For example, Apple. Type Apple, press return. Type Mac iLife, press return. Type Macworld, press return. But what a lot of people don't realize is that that extends to directories within the website. For example, if you wanted to go to Apple's support page for iPhoto, you just type Apple/support/iPhoto, and Safari will fill in the www and the com part for you. Another little related tip, and I use this all the time for jumping to the Apple product pages for the individual iLife programs, is that Apple has structured its website very nicely where you can simply type, say you want to go to the iPhoto product page, you can simply type Apple/iPhoto. And you will notice that the web browser redirects to something like apple.com/iLife/iPhoto, but that doesn't matter. All you have to type is Apple/iPhoto or Apple/GarageBand into your web browser, and you can jump to the main landing pages for any of the iLife programs. So there's your web browsing tip of the day. There's more to talk about in this edition of the Digital Hub, but first, let's go to Metro Traffic Control and check your local road conditions. That is, whether or not your new car will be able to have an iPod in it. You probably heard about this. It was in the news this past week. More than 70% of all 2007 model cars will offer some form of iPod connectivity in them. More than 70%. I'm reading here from an Associated Press article. In the latest boost to its dominance in portable music players, Apple Computer Inc. is teaming with General Motors Corporation, Ford Motor Company, and Mazda Motor Corporation to integrate the iPod into car audio systems. GM and Mazda will offer iPod integrations on all new models, Apple announced, and Ford will offer it on many of its Ford and Lincoln Mercury models later this year. Carmakers say they are responding to a trend in which sales of iPods and other MP3 players are predicted to more than double from 58 million units in 2005 to 132 million units in 2009. The iPod holds about a 75% share of the portable player market in the United States. Now, the degree of iPod integration you get depends on the car you buy and on how much money you want to spend. Some manufacturers are offering only mini jacks in the dashboard that allow you to plug the iPod or any other device with an audio output in and have that device play through the car's stereo system. Fairly bare bones, but hey, it does the job. Other manufacturers are offering either as standard equipment for pricier cars or as extra cost options, much tighter iPod integration. A lot of high-end cars already offer options like this, but now it's going to trickle down to the rest of us. Ford, for example, is going to offer an option that it calls TripTunes Advanced, where you get, for about $200 extra, plus installation at the dealer, an adapter that doubles as a little charging station for the iPod that lets you stash the iPod in a glove box or in the center console of the car and then control the iPod using the buttons on the car's steering wheel or on the car's stereo. And as you control the iPod, playlist information, the current song that's playing, that kind of thing appears on the car's stereo system. Very nice. And if you ask me, a much safer way to control your iPod. Because wow, if dialing a cell phone while you're driving is dangerous, thumbing through a click wheel and a list of playlists is just about suicidal. And I say this as someone who has done it from time to time. Don't drive and iPod at the same time. Pull over and get your playlist straight before you hit the road, or before you hit the accelerator pedal anyway. And if like me, you have an older car that does not have this kind of tight iPod integration, there are a few options. One, of course, is to buy a new stereo that does offer iPod connectivity. But you can also get cassette adapters that will insert into a car's cassette deck and plug into the iPod, and they basically just take the iPod's audio signal and turn it into a signal that can be into a magnetic signal that can be read by the cassette deck in the car, or FM transmitters that simply retransmit whatever the iPod is sending out on the FM radio dial so that you can then tune that in on your car's stereo. I use an FM transmitter. And the reason that I do is because the cassette deck in my car is broken. Hey, I'm on a budget. And I use an FM transmitter from a company called C-Crane, and they are at ccradio.com. You can get to them by clicking on the link that appears in your iTunes window right now. And no, they're not a sponsor of this podcast. I just like their stuff. And C-Crane makes what I consider to be one of the better FM transmitters that is out there. And there is a little hack out there on the internet that my good friend and colleague and the layout artist for my book, in fact, Jonathan Wilson, sent to me a while back, which I have been remiss in mentioning on MacILife.com, but someone figured out a way to hack the C-Crane FM transmitter to greatly boost its power. And I've done this, and it works. It's an easy process. You just have to open the back of the thing and turn a particular little dial with a little precision screwdriver, and you're done. And it really helps. I use the C-Crane transmitter not only in my car, but also to beam any audio that my Mac plays throughout my house so that I can tune it in on any FM radio in my house. And I found that that simple little modification really does increase its range. And finally, speaking of sound, here's something for you GarageBand musicians. This comes from the What Will They Think of Next department. You may have noticed that we're living in strange times, digitally speaking, that is. We have, on the one hand, software tools and features that allow you to restore old analog media, to take the pops and scratches out of old records that you've digitized, or to fix faded color in old photos that you've scanned. But at the same time, we also have software tools that allow you to add that kind of grunge to the stuff you're shooting now. You can, in iPhoto, for example, use the effects panel to make your photos look old and faded. You can, in iMovie, use the old aged film effect to make your fresh, sparkling digital video look like it was shot on an old Super 8 camera, while now you GarageBand users can make your pristine GarageBand recordings sound like they're being played on an old, scratchy, beat-up vinyl record on a garage sale turntable. There is a free software plugin that is available for GarageBand and several other audio plugin formats called Vinyl, and it's from iZotope. You can get to it by clicking the link on your screen, and Vinyl allows you to simulate the grunge of an old phonograph recording. You can dial in varying amounts of dust and scratches. You can specify whether your recording should sound like a 45, a 78, or a 33. You can choose from a variety of different presets that simulate everything from an old garage sale turntable to a 1950s recording. You can apply Vinyl to an individual track as an effect in GarageBand, or to have it affect your entire composition, you can apply it to the master track. But wait a minute, this is a podcast, this is audio, so instead of just talking about it, let's listen. Here to take us out of this edition of the Digital Hub is a little piece that I recorded a couple of months ago using GarageBand. This is a classic jazz standard called Here's That Rainy Day, and I have applied Vinyl to this recording to make it sound older. So let's take a listen to what this free plugin can do as we wrap up this edition of the Digital Hub. Thanks so much for listening. It won't be 7 months until the next edition of the Digital Hub comes out. I promise you that. Subscribe to the RSS feed at macilife.com and you'll always be notified when the next edition is available. I'm also going to get these bad boys up in the iTunes music store, so you'll be able to subscribe directly using iTunes. Until next time, I'm Jim Hyde. Thanks for listening.